If you knew that in the next few hours that you were going to be arrested and that you were going to be put to death, what kind of mindset would you have right now? If you knew you only had a few hours left to be on this earth, who would you be talking to? What would you be thinking about? You know, it's hard for us to think along those lines, isn't it? Because we like to plan ahead. You know, we don't plan just for today. We plan for tomorrow. We plan for next week. We plan for next month. We may plan for next year or the next 5 years or the next 10 years or whatever it is. We've got everything planned out. And if you knew that this is all you have, you only have a few hours left, what are you going to do? Who are you going to spend it with? What are you going to say to them? How are you going to live? In John chapter 13, Jesus knew he only had a few hours left upon this earth. This is the night that he's going to be betrayed. He's going to die the next day. He knows that it's coming. He's lived his whole life up to this moment. Who is he going to spend it with these last few hours? Well, he's got some that are close to him. He's got 12 disciples or 12 apostles. And they've been with him now night and day for 3 to 3.5 years. And so he has grown to love them very much. And in John chapter 13, we're going to see what Jesus is going to do. Now, first of all, we've already kind of talked about Jesus. What was Jesus thinking? What would he have been thinking? Well, obviously, chapter 13 and verse 1, it says that Jesus, knowing that his hour had come and that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He knows that his hour has come. His Father has given him all things into his hand. He's come forth from the Father and he's ready to go back to the Father. Okay, this is what Jesus' mindset is. What about the mindset of those that are in the room with him? He's in this room with his 12 apostles, okay, and their minds are on things that are totally different than Jesus's. First of all, you've got Judas in there. Well, in verse 2 of John chapter 13, it says, "During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him." Verse 3 says, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he had come forth from God and going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking aside a towel, he girded himself." But back to verse 2, look at Judas. What's going through Judas's mind? It's that of betraying Jesus. He's not thinking about anything else except what he's going to do that very night. What about the rest of the apostles? What are they thinking? Well, Luke's account tells us exactly what they're thinking. In Luke chapter 22, and this is something that's just a shock. Really, it's a shock to us, okay? But really, it shouldn't be because we act the same way. Okay, Luke 22 and verse 24. It says, according to Luke's account, that are up in the upper room meeting, a dispute arose among the apostles as to which one of them was regarded as the greatest. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine what is this? Okay, we're in the shadow of the cross, the greatest event ever to take place in human history. And they're thinking more about themselves than they are of Jesus and what He's about to go through. Luke's account, Jesus rebukes them for it. But back to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and we're going to spend our time in John 13 this morning, and we're going to look at what Jesus does, what Jesus says to His apostles. So think about what's going through Jesus' mind. Okay, He's only got a few hours left. He's with those that He loves. You already talked about what's going through the apostles' mind. We know what's in Judas's mind. We know what's in the rest of the apostles. They're trying to look around and see who's the greatest, right? They're trying to figure out who's the greatest among them. And what does Jesus do? He deliberately gets up from supper. He lays aside His garments. He girds Himself with a towel, and what that means is He took the towel and he tucked it in, okay, around His waist area. He would have girded that, okay, that's what that means. He girded a towel about Him, and He kneels before His chosen, and He begins to wash their feet. In John chapter 13, in verse 5 beginning, John 13 and verse 5 says, "Then He poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. So He came to Simon Peter. He said to him, 'Lord, do You wash My feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I do You do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter.' Peter said to Him, 'Never shall You wash My feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part with Me.' Simon Peter said to Him, 'Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you.' For He knew the one who was betraying Him. For this reason, He said, 'Not all of you are clean.'" We'll stop there for just a moment and just think about this. Think about, once again, what's going through the apostles' minds. Okay, before Jesus starts doing this, who's the greatest? Right, we've already alluded to this. We're not going to go over this again, but Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 27. Okay, Jesus, He is telling them, He realizes what they're thinking about, what they're arguing about. And He says, "Therefore, who is greater?" Jesus says, "He who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves." Keep that in mind. Okay, that's Luke's account, but it's the same thing, same time frame that we're talking about. They're arguing about who's the greatest, okay? The idea of what Jesus is doing, and I wanted to kind of bring this up. I was reading on some of this. You think about how Peter reacted to what Jesus was going to do, and he says, "Never shall you wash my feet." And Jesus says, "If I do not wash you, you will have no part with me." Brethren, I want to tell you, none of us are worthy of His service for us, but none of us can be saved without His service. None of us can be saved without that blood of Jesus, that thing we were remembering this morning, the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. None of us are worthy of it, but we can't be saved without it. But let's go back now to our reading. We'll pick up in verse 12 of John 13. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus sits down with 24 dirty feet and 12 proud hearts, and he washes their feet. There are so many lessons that we can learn from this morning. And I just want us to go through and I want us to think about these together. And I want us to think about how we can make applications to these in our lives. Okay? This is very important. It must have been vitally important to Jesus, because when you know you only have a few hours left to live, and you've only got a certain amount of time to be with the ones that you love, and you want to tell them something, right? You want to tell them something that they will remember from then on out. This is the first thing that Jesus does. He's trying to make an impression upon their lives of what He is about and what they need to be about. And obviously, the first challenge that Jesus gives us is the challenge to serve others. Now, this example that Jesus used, this, you can go back and look, it was a custom back in their time, okay, there was a custom, was for the host to have a slave to wash the feet of his dinner guest. And someone says, well, why was that a custom? Well, they didn't have the same type of clothing that we have today. Okay, and they walked just about everywhere that they went. Okay, when they went small distances, they didn't jump in the car and go down. They didn't have socks and shoes like we have. They may have had some sandals, but their feet would have gotten dirty and dusty along the way. So it was the custom then. Okay, for the host, if he was having a banquet or someone come together, that the host would have a slave to wash the feet of his dinner guest. For some reason, this hadn't been done in this occasion. Now listen, it's Jesus and his 12 apostles. This has not been done, and guess what? The apostles didn't do anything about it either, did they? They didn't bring it up. Not one of them jumped down and started washing the other's feet. What are they doing? They're arguing about who's the greatest. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? They don't have time for this. They don't have time for thinking about someone else or washing someone else's feet. They're trying to see which one of them's greater than the other. No one thought about it except Jesus. Jesus completely turned the social order upside down. The master performing the task of a servant for his disciples. We've already looked at Luke 22 and verse 27. Jesus had already talked to him and says, "For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves." Jesus is giving us the example. He's saying, in my kingdom, greatness is not going to come by being served. It's going to come by serving others. By the time Jesus got to Peter, he's washing the disciples' feet. You can just about imagine what Peter's thinking. Never shall you wash my feet. Why such a reaction? Why do you think Peter had that reaction? Well, we're not specifically told, are we? But of all the disciples, Peter undeniably knew who Jesus was. In Matthew 16, he's proclaimed that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Was he thinking, Lord, I know who you are, and I don't expect you to wash my feet? Or, but perhaps more to the point, he was saying, Lord, I'm Peter. I'm not going to wash any feet. That's a job for servants. You see, that's just the point. Washing feet is for servants. The Lord's message was clear. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Brethren, look at those around you. Look at those around you. Jesus is challenging you to be a servant. He's challenging you to serve others. Now, I understand that this passage, okay, is not necessarily teaching that you must literally go out and wash someone else's feet. As we've already taught, this was a symbol of hospitality back in that time. But you can and you must serve in other ways. Jesus is teaching us the principle of service. Maybe it's taking a meal to someone who is sick, to someone who is hurting. Maybe it's a visit to someone who is elderly or someone who is shut in poor health. Maybe it's spending time with someone who is discouraged and needs a friend. Maybe it's a note. In today's world, maybe it's a text, okay? Maybe it's a call. Maybe it's teaching a class. That's part of service as well. Serving others. There are literally 1,001 ways of serving others. If Jesus, our Lord and our teacher, if He performed the lowest of all acts of service for His servants, then we ought also to serve one another. Do you not feel that challenge? Do you not see that, brethren? That's so important that we see this, to serve others. But brethren, it also means to humble yourself in the sight of your brethren. And all of these are going to go together, okay, this morning a lot. But what I mean by this is this. We live, brethren, in the me generation, don't we? It's all about me. It's a world where if people do think of others, and many do, it's only after they have thought of themselves. Okay, think of yourself first, and then you can think of others. Most act like, whether they admit it or not, the world revolves around us, and it's focused on us. Isn't it? Right? Everybody in here, come on, be honest with yourself. Okay, we think the world revolves around us. Everything's about us. It's all about, oh yeah, it's all about me. As disciples of Jesus, this is not how we are to think. We all need an attitude adjustment, brethren. If Jesus, don't you think about this? If Jesus had simply said, As in James chapter 4 and verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. There'd be no challenge. When you see the Lord, you're humble. When you see how great and awesome and powerful He is, He's the creator of the universe. He sustains us. He created us. He holds everything together. It's easy for us to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. But brethren, the challenge of John 13 is to humble yourself in the sight of your brethren, your equals. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5 says, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Now, this changes things a little bit here. You're not humbling yourself in the sight of God. You're humbling yourself in the sight of your brethren. You see, the problem is, brethren, we're the most important. I'm the most important. If I'm the most important, then it's going to be hard for me to humble myself to Taylor. Or it's going to be hard for me to humble myself to Chuck. Or to humble myself to Chris Patterson. Or to Chris Travis. Or to anyone else in this congregation. Because I'm the most important. You see, my strengths are the greatest. My accomplishments are the biggest. My mind is the wisest. My position the most important. My problems are always the hardest. My concerns are the most worrisome. My fears are the most valid. My position the most important. You see, if I have that attitude that it's all about me, that I'm the most important, then I'm never going to get around to you. I'm never going to get around to serving others. I'm never going to get around to humbling myself in the sight of my brethren. And Jesus knew that His apostles, if they didn't get this lesson, they were never going to do that. And so He had told them many times what they needed to do. But now it was time to act. And He showed them by washing their feet. Washing their feet. Okay? You've got to get the gravity of that to understand what that means. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, it talks about Jesus, that we're to be like Jesus. But look at verse 3 of Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Now, I don't know how I can get any more plainer than that. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. That means you've got to get out of yourself and you've got to think about others. You've got to care about others. You've got to do things for others. And you say, well, why? And it's just, why? I got so many problems myself. I can't think about other people. Well, look at what Jesus did. And we're supposed to be followers of Jesus. Brethren, we're not just people that have obeyed God and then we just go out and live life. We just live it up, boy, the greatest way we want to do it. Jesus said, if you're going to be like me, you're going to have to serve others. You're going to have to humble yourself. Do you feel the challenge in the upper room? I'm going to ask you a question. Would you have liked to have been one of those 12 in there? Would you have liked to have been one of those 12 that had to learn this lesson? There's another lesson. And they go along together, okay? All these go along there. But the challenge to prefer one another in honor. Do you know the struggle of wanting to receive honor? Everyone, if we're honest with ourselves, we want to receive honor. We want to have something heaped upon us. Perhaps you know what it's like to cringe with jealousy when someone else is complimented. Jesus, God in the flesh, the one who was most deserving of honor, gave up that glory and came in the form of a man, becoming a bondservant, not just for God, but for you and for me, the least deserving of honor. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, Romans 12 and verse 10, it says this, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor." Give preference to one another in honor. You see, Jesus honored His apostles that night. He honored them by washing their feet. We are to prefer or honor one another. What that means is, brethren, that we're not going to seek others to honor us. Don't you seek someone to honor you. Don't brag about your work. Don't wait to work until others can see you. Right? You're not doing things just so others will come up and say, "Oh boy, you're doing such a good job." Do your work quietly and make lots of noise about the work that everyone else is doing. See, that's how we do it. It's not about me. It's not about what I do. It's about what others do. Okay, I'm here to regard others as more important as myself, and I'm to prefer one another in honor. We're to build each other up, not to build ourselves up. The apostles were all disputing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Jesus is about to die on the cross and they're all going back and forth. "Well, I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest," and all this. And Jesus has to teach them humility, to prefer one another over themselves. Also, we learn from this not to lean not on our own understanding. I don't know how many feet Jesus washed before He got to Peter. But by the time He gets to Peter, Peter is just sitting there. Evidently, he's just watching silently in disbelief on what's going on. And when He gets to Peter, Peter says, "I'm not going to let you wash my feet." How many of us would have thought differently? How many of us would have been the same way? "Oh no, Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet. Oh no, I'm drawing the line there. Okay, all these other guys can wash feet, but not you, Jesus. You're not going to do it." That does not compute with my reasoning. My reasoning says that Jesus should not be washing my feet. I just cannot do it. And that was Peter's problem. He was going on his own reasoning. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." Peter thought he had an understanding of what Jesus was and what Jesus was to be about. But Peter was wrong. Do not lean on your own understanding. And Peter had to learn the hard way, just like we have to learn the hard way a lot of times. Peter realized his mistake and recanted, didn't he? He says, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." When Jesus made the spiritual application to him, he says, "If I don't wash you, you can't have any part of me." And Peter realized what he had done. And he says, "Man, just wash everything. I need it all. Okay, I need it all." We need to be careful, brethren, That we don't lean on our own understanding. We must turn to God. We must turn to His Word for everything. The next lesson we learn is that we need to see from this, from the apostles, that we need to quit competing with one another. We need to quit competing with one another. These men had just been arguing among themselves about who was the greatest. And they sat there and watched this slow process of Jesus, their master, washing their dirty and disgusting feet. You see, the apostles were in competition with each other. Their goal was not to be the best servant of God they could be, but it was to be a better servant than the one sitting next to them. I don't care about being the best God was. I want to be better than you. And I want to be better than you. Brethren, on the day of judgment, God's not going to look out, and you're not going to be able to say, well, I didn't do everything exactly right, but you know what? I was better than him. I'm going to get right behind him in line, right? When we get in line, it's not going to be that. That's not going to be an option. We need to quit competing. And what's so amazing about this in this story is that the example of Jesus in the text. Why didn't Jesus just grab them all and say, "Wake up, right? What are you guys thinking? What are you guys doing? I'm about to die on the cross. I've been doing all this. I've been teaching you for 3.5 years, and this is what I get? You're all arguing about who's going to be the greatest." All he does is he gets a basin of water. He gets a towel. He girds it and he gets on one knee and he walks over and he starts washing their feet. You see, brethren, sometimes we have to be shown the way we need to be acting. Like the apostles, we are not competitors. We are on the same team. We do not all run the same leg of the race or perform the same functions. But we must not feel that greatness or being the greatest is our goal. That's not what it is. It's using what God has given us as best we can. That is our goal. That's our goal, every and every one of us. Each and every one of us has something that we can do for the Lord. We can be serving the Lord. We can be living for Him every day. You do the best you can do in whatever it is you can do. And finally, brethren, the life lesson is to love unconditionally. It's not just to love somebody. You know, anybody and everybody can love somebody, but it's to love everybody unconditionally. That means it doesn't matter who the person is, we are to love them. It doesn't matter what they have done or can do to us or for us, we are to love them. This love is not a feeling that we simply talk about, it's an action that we demonstrate. And we do it for all. We do it for the rich, we do it for the poor. We do it for the black, we do it for the white. We do it for the fat, we do it for the thin. We do it for the ugly, that's a relative term by the way, or we do it for the pretty. We do it for the mean, we do it for the nice. You see, Jesus not only demonstrated His love for the apostles who would flee from Him in general, He did it to Peter. He did it to Judas. He washed Judas's feet. None of us know what that would have taken. He washed Judas's feet. Unconditional love. You know, we often warn people not to bite the hand that feeds them. You ever heard that saying? Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Jesus, on the other hand, fed the mouth that bit Him. Unconditional love, that's what it's about. Those are the life lessons. Will you accept Jesus' challenge to serve? Jesus said, the last verse of our reading, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It's not enough to know them, brethren. We all know the right things, don't we? We all have been here long enough. We've studied. We've looked at it. We know the right things. It's whether or not we're going to do them or not. Are we going to do the things that God wants us to do? One of the last things that Jesus did with His apostles was wash their feet, because He's trying to teach them about serving others. It's not about us. It's about others. Will you accept Jesus' challenge to serve? We're about to sing the song, Prepare to Meet Thy God. There's not a person in here this morning that's not going to stand before God one day. Are you prepared to meet your God? If we can help you this morning in any way in becoming a Christian and turning to Him, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died for your sins, if you're willing to repent of your sins and to confess His name before men, then you can be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Come out of those waters of baptism a new creature to live the rest of your life for Him, in service to Him. Not just to live any way you want to, but you're living for Jesus. You want to be more like Him every day. If we can help you this morning anyway in turning to Jesus, in turning to Him, please come while we stand and sing.